Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
10:34, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. I guess it was, over 5 years ago, probably about 6 years ago. We sat down for the first time with the cast of Hamilton, the musical, the first cast outside of Broadway, and that was centered right here in Chicago. And among the castmates was the star of the show, taking on the role of Alexander Hamilton, Miguel Cervantes, who we talked to and thought, boy, does this guy's got his hands full right here. He's, you know, got to be the first guy to be Alexander Hamilton after Lin-Manuel Miranda. But he killed it while he was here in Chicago in that role for 5 years, so much so that when the show closed here in Chicago at the beginning of this year, that Miguel was chosen to lead the cast in the Broadway version of Hamilton, which he did quickly before the pandemic hit and Broadway shut down. And, you know, so now, like every other Broadway performer, like every other performer, really, anywhere is just, you know, on the sidelines waiting for things to back open up again. And Miguel is, I believe, in New Jersey. Is that where we find you this morning, my friend?
I have relocated to the East Coast to wait it all out over here, Dean.
Because when things open up again, you're going to be back on Broadway, presumably, right?
You know, that the hope plan, you know, all of everyone is that we get to open back up just in, at all, you know, the theater, that whatever situation has to be, that we'll be able to get back in the theater. And fortunately for me and the other Hamilton, the Ham Fam, is that Hamilton will absolutely be one of the shows that gets to come back. You know, this thing has put such a financial burden on so many producers and theaters and all over the country. And, you know, Broadway's no exception. And so there will be shows that don't come back and that have already said they're closing. But fortunately, Hamilton will be back, and I will be there on that first day. Can't wait for those chords. Dun, 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 dun. I keep visualizing that in my head as a triumphant return to getting back in there, you know.
Now, how do you stay ready for that? I mean, it's going to be a while until things open up again. Is it that you've done this show so many times that you really don't need to, you know, rehearse, keep your skills sharp, sing the songs? Or are you doing that? Is there a process that you go through just to make sure that, you know, you don't forget anything?
Well, you know, hopefully I won't forget. You know, I actually was watching the movie on Disney Plus, and I was kind of going through the words with Lynn, just making sure that it was still in my bones. And I think, you know, just like sometimes you can remember something from when you were a kid, it's so ingrained in me after 1,200 performances that the words, I don't think are ever going to be a problem, you know, any more than they would normally, you know, snafus here and there. But what I do have to really concentrate on, and once we start getting back to thinking about it, you know, it took me 3.5 years in Chicago, four years in Chicago, to really find the rhythm and find the sort of lifestyle to be able to perform that many times a week and not hurt myself and being able to sustain. So I'll have to sort of get back into a routine to get the stamina back. You know, I'm not singing the show every night right now. And so that will be the one thing. And I learned a lot of tricks and you know, processes to be able to do that while I was in the show. So I'll be able to fall back on that. But there will be some time. It'll be fun both physically. I have to get back in the gym. Those costumes will not be very forgiving for I think all of us, the COVID-19 LBs that we put on here while we've been waiting it out. So that'll be something that'll all go one hand in hand. And as a cast, we will go into rehearsal. We will have 3 or 4 weeks of rehearsal to everybody to get back in the routine. Folks who've done it for years, and also folks who have only done it for a couple of months before we shut down.
Yeah, that it's just the most extraordinary time, isn't it, to have to figure out how to do stuff like this that you never ever would have imagined that you would have had to have done, you know, 6 months ago, a year ago?
You know, I think, you know, so many things like that, you know, moving to New Jersey, and we had a house here that we were planning to move into after the summer because I would be in, my family would still be in Chicago, I would be in New York, going back and forth, sort of spending this split time, and then, you know, triumphantly returning, and all of the things that we had, the big plan, and it just sort of, everything just came to a crazy, crazy crashing halt. And so having to wrap your head around just life, you know, regular life plans that you had,
right.
Not to mention, I planned to be Hamilton this whole time. I planned to be on Broadway and have, you know, that the excitement of that life going right now. And here I am sort of alongside every other performer and actor and any other business, just waiting it out and waiting to see what happens and anxious and terrified and, you know, sort of fighting off the depression that comes along with all of this, just like everyone else, you know? And I think, I hope people understand that it is affecting all of us the same exact way.
I have a lot of empathy for the performers, not only the performers, the technicians, the carpenters, the ushers, anybody that does anything in a theater or concert venue. These are incredibly tough times because nobody knows when things are going to happen again. And when they do, how many people will be allowed into theaters?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, we had discussions about how to keep ourselves safe us on stage, you know, we're all spitting on each other. And how do we keep each other safe? And then, A, how do we keep the audience safe? And then the whole other thing is, how many of those people are going to feel safe enough to, A, travel to New York,
right,
and B, put themselves inside a theater? So there's so many levels of unknown that have to be accounted for before we even set one foot on stage.
Yeah. Well, and that's why this virtual project that you are part of called The Killer Party, it's a virtual murder mystery musical that is currently being staged, that is so much fun. Number one, it's fun. Number two, it's great to see you and others singing and performing and do what you all do best, you know, sharing your amazing talents in this fun production that had to be something that you gravitated to just to keep your own sanity, I would think.
You know, people have asked me, you know, often about what are you doing to sort of be artistic, or what are you doing to sort of keep, you know, like you're saying, keep in shape. It's hard because some days you feel like you want to sing and dance and write and move. And some days it's like the couch is, you're holding that couch down for dear life. And those are sort of the ebbs and flows of something like this. So when they asked me to be part of this, I said, yeah, sure. Like, this sounds like something fun. And, you know, it's a little terrifying because not only here's a new song you have to learn, go find a way to record it in your closet, in your car, under a blanket, and then here's your light, here's your direction. So now set up a camera, set up some lights, figure out how to move around. So not only was I a performer, but I was the lighting designer. I was the director of photography. My wife and son were part of the crew to set this video. And all of a sudden, we're in here in my basement creating a new piece of art, a new piece of musical theater, and all the creative just juices started flowing, and I realized how much I miss it, how much I miss being there and creating something. And you know, we're all, you know, there's 15 of us in the 50 different Broadway and theatrical, you know, workers, you know, like you have the editors and the writers and the singers, the performers, costume people, all of the people are involved, being able to flex some artistic muscles. I think that is the most important part. You know, we're all figuring it all out as we go. And perhaps there is a, you know, new form of art that we are creating that will get better and better as we go. But the most important thing is just getting people in being able to use their talents for something new and fun and creative, and not just for us, but for audiences to be able to see new songs and see these people's performances and be able to experience something like that. It's good for all of us, I think, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, I think this kind of takes these virtual performances that we've seen to another level, where we've seen, you know, actors, singers, performers in their living rooms at their pianos, singing and performing and doing things. But this is actually like a musical murder mystery that you would go see with scenery. But as you've said, each of the performers are still keeping their social distance from everyone else. You're in your home. The other actors are in their homes. And somehow this all has to be woven together into a cohesive musical. And it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And it works. And it's funny.
I was interesting. I was shocked. I was shocked when I saw it, because, you know, all I saw was what I did, and I sort of watched the videos, and I said, well, I hope that sort of works. And then all of a sudden, these editors bring us into the same room, and they bring us into the same space and the same story. And it, you know, they set it up so that it looks like we're talking to each other. And I've not set eyes or been in the same room with any of these people, the writers, the actors, the singers, the musicians. And so then I get to see this thing, and we are telling a story together in our own little boxes, as opposed to, like you were saying, you know, people sitting in their living room or whatever performing a song. This is where this is a real story, interesting, a murder mystery, who done it. Maybe I did it. I don't know yet. you know, and so, and I think that's kind of the fun part of this, is it's a new way to tell a story, and hopefully people will be engaged like I was to kind of watch and see how they did it.
Now, I have to think that most of the performers, yourself included, maybe shot this on your iPhone. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I have my cell phone, I had my tripod, and I have a light system. And, you know, the way we did it is we would do it sort of musical style, musical movie style. So we would go into some sort of sound isolation, whether it's a real sound booth that some people have in their houses, or like me, I would get under a blanket so that it was a damper, and we recorded on my phone, and then I would play the audio that Jason would put together in the room, and sort of lip sync to myself, and then perform to my basement, and the lights, and perform to the camera, and
wow.
Then they would give us directions about where to look and how to be, so that we would sort of match it up. And, you know, it's sort of a work in progress as far as the technology. We're all learning as we go. But it is super interesting. And, you know, so I was talking to somebody about this. They're like, well, were you nervous? Like, how did it win? I said, you know, I've been on the stage in front of 1,900 people and never got nervous to be up there. But all of a sudden, I'm in the basement by myself, and I'm really anxious. And I'm really trying to figure out if I'm doing it right. Is this how it goes? And then I watched the video, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. And now I want to do it again. It sort of feels like I'm learning a new skill.
Yeah, and then once they put all the performers together, HMS Video, that's done so many amazing theatrical projects, our friend Scott Silberstein is the guy behind putting all this together. It's just amazing how, when it all comes together, how cohesive it is and great. Please tell me that when Kelly was videoing this, that there is some video of you underneath a blanket, you know, singing. I just would like to see, like, the behind the scenes.
I wish I had told her to come video me, because, you know, I would be under the blanket and sort of singing some songs, and I would take my head out, and I was just sweating because it's so hot under there. it is all a very, very sort of, you know, bare bones operation.
That's awesome.
And I wish I had done more sort of behind the scenes of myself, you know, filming and messing up and, like, all of those things sort of the next episode. You know, the hope is that this is something that we can do again, and we can involve more people and tell more new stories and new songs, and then get a little better at all the stuff, and then who knows, you know, we're all reinventing ourselves every single day,
right?
You know?
Yeah, this may wind up being the new normal, who knows. It's called A Killer Party, a murder mystery musical that premiered just the other day, a 9-episode musical that you can access by going to BroadwayInChicago.com. That's probably the easiest link to getting to it and learning more about it. BroadwayInChicago.com for Miguel Cervantes and so many others, Alex Newell and Michael James Scott and Jackie Burns, Laura Onnes, all involved in A Killer Party.
And And just as a quick note, you know, it's a co-op essentially. Everyone involved will profit from its success. Will you know, it's everyone from the writers to the performers and everyone in between is going to benefit from its success. And I think that's part of, you know, everyone sort of, like you were saying, is sort of stuck doing nothing. And I think this will help in any little way that it can.
Well, and so one of the other things that you have always been very much involved in during your time in Chicago, when you're, you know, on stage doing Hamilton here in Chicago, you have were very much involved in charitable efforts, trying to help, mostly epilepsy research, but lots of different endeavors. Your little daughter, Adelaide, was fighting a very rare form of pediatric epilepsy. Everyone heard the news, sadly, that Adelaide lost her battle with this form of epilepsy last year, which is devastating. But your family has remained positive and tried to be a positive source to others who are going through, whether it's epilepsy or anything else, to keep fighting and to stay positive. You and your wife, Kelly, and your little son, Jackson, are amazing in your strength. Your inspiration is inspiring to everyone. And now Rush University Medical Center, is doing something to honor little Adelaide, which I think is fantastic, in a place where you spent an awful lot of your time as Adelaide was going in and out of the hospital with a variety of problems and doctor's appointments. You know Rush pretty well over there.
Yeah, you know, I think most people don't really, perhaps don't really think twice about what life in a hospital is like for any long-term situation. You know, people don't really spend too much time there. We, however, did, especially my wife, as Adelaide was in the ICU, the PICU, the pediatric intensive care unit, very often. And you get to know the ins and outs of living there and staying there for days and days, weeks at a time. And, you know, the people, you get to know the people and they become, you know, sort of kind of part of your family for that time. And, you know, while medical care is amazing there, we realize that the facilities, as far as the lounge, with the family lounge, because in the pediatric intensive care unit, there, you can't stay in the room. There's no shower. It's, you know, it's all for the equipment and stuff. So families sort of stay out in this sort of lounge, and realizing in a time when, like, you're having, these families are having the worst times of their lives, having to be there. And if that lounge area could be just a little more comforting, a little updated, that it would make that time a little bit easier to digest. And they asked us if we would want to help to revamp that space and call it and dedicate it to my daughter. And it would be the Adelaide Cervantes Family Lounge. And I was floored by the, we were just floored by the idea. And so we took it on just before COVID started, and then sort of that whole thing has sort of put a stop on it. But then we kind of got back into it this last couple weeks, and we're fundraising, and we're almost there, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome that people are stepping up and trying to help to revamp this lounge to make it a little more comfortable for people, as you say, we're going through the worst times of their lives. And people can make donations by going to rush.edu/Adelaide. Is that right?
That's correct. I made a video thanking folks to be there, and the response has been unbelievable. So if anyone out there is listening that has been part of this, I thank you so much. You know, we've often thought about Chicago and how we left under sort of so weird circumstances, you know, with the coronavirus. But to be able to say thank you to the city, leave some kind of a legacy for how important the city was to us, and you know, as a thank you to everyone, especially the folks at Rush.
Yeah, I think it's great that Adelaide's legacy will live on at Rush as well. And I just got to say, you have the most amazing wife. Kelly is a rock. Kelly is a rock, having gone through all of this. And, you know, even after Adelaide's death, continues to offer inspiration through her own blog of her thoughts and feelings and sharing information. She's an amazing person.
Yeah, I don't think people can quite understand how much it takes for a parent, especially a mom, for in most cases of a special needs child, and what she's had to go through, and the determination and strength that she's shown, and the willingness and ability to you know, support others, you know, motivate others, and teach others during this the hardest time. And she stays. And don't get me wrong, like we have our own time. She has her hard times like anyone else can, but she bounces back. She writes this blog, hoping that she helps one person, like she reaches and touches one person. And she's a hero of our family. And I hope people can understand that these super moms are really the backbone of this special needs community.
Yeah, if people want to take a look at Kelly's blog, what is the best way to do that?
KellyCervantes.com. Her blog is called Inchstones. She still, right to this day, is writing about it and talking about, you know, how we're moving through the world right now. And I'm inspired by her and her willingness to share. So well, please check it out. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm inspired by both of you. You're amazing people, amazing parents, that never stop giving back to others. And, that's why I hope that if someone is listening to us right now, they will take a moment and go to rush.edu/Adelaide and donate whatever you can to help create the family lounge at Rush that will be named for Adelaide and will, you know, remain there for other families who are going through tough times. It's always great to hear your voice, my friend. Please give my best and my love to Kelly, and check out A Killer Party. You're going to have a lot of fun watching this. It's available at BroadwayInChicago.com. Simple as that. All right, my friend, you New Jerseyite now. How's life in New Jersey? How's life in New Jersey?
You know, I have a yard now, so I spend a lot of time trying to get the grass to grow, which I didn't get to do a lot in Chicago. you know, but Jackson will start school here, and we're just waiting it out, man. I really hope that I can see you in New York City pretty soon. Well, everybody come and check out Hamilton. Fingers crossed we get to do it real soon.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you guys in person. Thanks for talking to us, Miguel Cervantes. BroadwayInChicago.com for A Killer Party. Rush.edu/Adelaide for the Adelaide Cervantes Lounge at Rush. Thanks, pal. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Dean. Thanks so much, man. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.